I'd like us to read and to speak about this evening verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. So I forgot to look up the page in the church Bible. Thank you. 1160. 1160 in the church Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I haven't been given a subject as we normally have for word and worship. And these verses have come to me because, as I've already said, there have been a couple of influences. Firstly, this is the last Sunday of the year. The old year has gone. That chapter in our lives has been written, and as I said in my prayer, there are perhaps things written that we would rather not have been there, and things that we would like to have been added, but they haven't been. But that chapter is finished. There's a new page being turned over in a couple of days' time. Blank pages as far as we are concerned, but known to God. And so I wanted to bring some things for us to think about and to put into effect as we move into a new year. The second thing that took me to this passage is we went to my daughter's on Christmas, for Christmas Day, and we travelled home on Boxing Day. And for the first time, we travelled home with a sat-nav to guide us. For my daughter and son-in-law's present to us was sat-nav. Most of you here will know that sat-nav stands for satellite navigation. They gave us a little gadget, no bigger than that, and no thicker than that. And that's able somehow, I don't know how, to communicate with satellites in the sky that you can't see, and it will tell you exactly where you are on a little map, and it will guide you on your journey to your destination. And so we were able to drive home with the satellite navigation telling us where we were and how we were going to get to where we hoped to get to, which of course was back home to 9 Montserrat Road, Lyon-Solent. And so I was thinking about the journey of life. I was thinking about destinations. And so these verses came to me, and I'd like to read them now, and look out for destinations and journey. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it says, "Now we know," that's a great start, isn't it? "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." May the Lord bless his word to us. Destination. The sat-nav was an amazing little gadget. When we started off, the first thing we had to do was to be sure of our destination. And that's where we started. We didn't have a book to follow, and even if we did, we probably couldn't have done. But it was a case of pressing buttons and hoping for the best. But what it asked us to do, first of all, before we could make a start, was be sure of our destination. To know where we were headed. And that's what I was thinking about in these verses here. Where are we headed? It may not be in 2013. It may be a few years after that. We do not know. But where are we headed? What's our destination? And the great message of 2 Corinthians 5 is, our destination is heaven itself. And I just wanted to remind ourselves of that as we step into a new year. That's where we are headed. And Paul uses the comparison in verses 1 and 2 of what it's like between living in a tent and what it's like having a permanent house. Now, Martin and Maureen may have to live in a tent after their flood, I'm not sure. But I'm sure they would say, well, we might manage it for a day or two, but I wouldn't like it to be any longer than that. Perhaps you've been on holiday in a tent. They're pretty flimsy things, aren't they? They're not really made for the long term. They're temporary. They're a bit uncomfortable, aren't they, when the wind blows, and when it's raining, and when it's windy. I'm sure Gordon's had experience of camps in the past where you've had to pack up the tents and get out of the tents because the weather's just been too bad. We've never had a tent. We've always gone for slightly better accommodation as a caravan because tents always seem very uncomfortable. A little bit insecure, a bit fragile. And Paul says, our bodily life is a bit like that. We've got a temporary body, uncomfortable, can't rely on it all the time, and a bit fragile. Isn't that your experience? It's certainly mine. And that's the temporary accommodation we've got while we're here on earth. But the destination we're traveling to in the journey of life is different. He didn't say we've got a tent in heaven. He said we've got an eternal house in heaven. Now that's something a bit better, isn't it? A house speaks of a permanent structure, somewhere safe, somewhere secure, somewhere comfortable. And that's what we've got reserved for us in heaven. That's our destination, says Paul. That's what's awaiting us. I was reminded of the Lord's words in John 14. I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's not going to consign us to the bottom of the garden in a tent. He's got a mansion for us. An eternal house in heaven. That's our destination. And let's not forget that. That's why we're here on the journey of life, that we might end up with an eternal house in heaven. A permanent residence there. You know, it's a little bit more than that, because did you notice how it was referred to in verse number 8? He talks about being at home with the Lord. Isn't that a lovely phrase? What do you think of your house? If I said 9 Montserrat Road, that's my house, and that says something about it. But when I say it's my home, that's different, isn't it? It's a place of welcome. It's a place where I'm comfortable. It's a place that's lovely. And heaven is going to be a place where we're going to be at home with the Lord. Isn't that a lovely picture that we can take into the new year? If we die before the Lord comes, yes, our bodily tents will be left behind, but the real us will go to be with the Lord Jesus there in heaven. To be absent from the body, says the scriptures, is to be present with the Lord. In a sense, we're unclothed because we've left a bit of ourselves behind. But that's going to be put right when the Lord comes again. Our bodies are going to be resurrected and we're going to be joined together again. Our bodies are a bit like a glove. You know, when your hand's in it, your glove is quite firm and it's there. Take the hand away, the glove might be back, but there's something missing. And so it is that our spirit, the real us, goes to be with the Lord Jesus if we pass on from this life. So it's good to know our destination. It's good to know what sort of destination, what sort of place is reserved for us. The second thing we had to do on the journey was to set our preferences. We had a little map to follow. We could look at the big picture, and Rosemary pressed a couple of buttons by mistake, and we could see the whole of the south of England in our little spot. Or you could zoom in and we could see a couple of yards ahead on the little diagram. And we need at times to move out from looking at the little picture of next week and next month to the big picture. To zoom out and think what God has got ready for us. And there are some big picture words here, aren't there? And I particularly love verse 4 and 5, where it says this, that the mortal, that's us, because we die, will be swallowed up by life. And he goes on to say, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose. So one of the reasons why we were saved and brought into the family of God is that we should be at home with the Lord. Isn't that a tremendous big picture to keep in our minds and our memories? For this very purpose, he's called us and he's made us what we are. It's God's great purpose that heaven is going to be full of redeemed sinners like you and me. And he says, look, we needn't doubt that this is going to happen because he's given us his Spirit. Part of God himself is within us. And he says it's like a deposit. You put a deposit down knowing that there's more to come. And we've been given God's Spirit within on the basis that there's more to come as a guarantee. So we needn't worry that when the time comes, we won't get to our destination. We've got the promises of God and the deposit of the Holy Spirit that will make sure we get there no matter what. There's not going to be any breakdowns at the last minute that's going to stop us on the journey. There's not going to be many people to send us on a diversion. We will get there because God has said it, it's his promise, and he's given us his Spirit. You could set the route to be the fastest route, or you could set it to be the most economical or the scenic route, fast or slow. You would get there sooner or later. And Paul says, my preference in verse number 7 is to be absent from the body, but to be at home with the Lord. That's really where I want to be. And that's a good ambition to have. But it doesn't mean to say he's sitting back and waiting for it to happen. No, he said, didn't he, what his goal is. In verse number 9, we make it our goal to please him. That's the Lord Jesus. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Whilst I'm here, he says, this is what I'm doing. This is the route I'm taking. This is the goal and objective I've set myself to please the Lord. That would be a great goal for us to reaffirm for 2013, isn't it? Here's my ambition for the year ahead. I want to please the Lord in everything I do. He didn't say, I'm going to please myself, did he? He didn't say, I'm going to make my life as comfortable as possible until the time comes. He said, I'm going to please the Lord. And our life should be lived for the Lord, not for our own comfort and not for our own pleasure. It was great with the sat-nav to have a map of what lay ahead. It showed the junctions and the bends. It showed the roundabouts when they were coming up. And of course, the Bible is like our sat-nav in that sense, isn't it? It's the map that we can follow. And Paul says a bit about what the journey might be like, didn't he? Did you notice that as we went through? Verses 2 and 4. Meanwhile, we groan. Verse 4. While we're in this tent, we groan and are burdened. Is that how you feel sometimes? A bit of a groan, a bit of a burden. I've got to be honest. We must all feel like that at times. Maybe because of ill health that we're dealing with, physical pain, with the problems of life, family issues, concerns, worries. We can feel like groaning and burdened and be burdened, just as Paul said. But he looked up and he looked out, didn't he? He looked up and he looked out and he said, I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. That's what makes all the difference for me. I want to be clothed in my heavenly dwelling. I'm looking forward to heaven. And that prospect was helping him to hang on. Have a look at the verses just above in chapter 4 and what he says there. He says, therefore, from verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. He had his mind fixed on the eternal things. And it's really difficult to think that the troubles that we're going through are light and momentary troubles. But in the grand scheme of heaven and eternity, that's what they are. I have every sympathy for those who are going through a lot more groaning and burdensome situations than I have faced. But the Lord can see us through. And will take us through to glory. There's a quote in a book I was reading that David gave me for Christmas, and it said this about the journey and looking ahead. The writer's talking about lukewarm people, lukewarm Christians. It says this, lukewarm people think about life on earth much more often than eternity in heaven. Daily life is mostly focused on today's to-do list, this week's schedule, and next month's vacation. Rarely, if ever, do they intently consider the life to come. Regarding this, C.S. Lewis writes, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next." It's since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. I'll leave that thought with you, and you can work that through for yourself. So we know our destination. We know there's a big picture we can look at. We know that we have this deposit of the Holy Spirit that will make sure we get there. The journey may be difficult with groanings and burdensome things, but we will be seen through those. And one of the ways in which we can travel on the journey is trust, isn't it? There's a lady sitting in my sat-nav that talks to me as I'm driving along. She tells me what to do. She says, "There's a roundabout coming up. Enter the roundabout. Take the second exit." The question is, do I trust her or not? Am I confident enough to let her guide me? Can I drive by faith and not by sight, is the question. Well, I have to say, I didn't actually trust her. I'd only known her for half an hour when she started to talk to me. And I had no experience as to whether I could rely on her or not. And so I didn't drive by faith, I drove by sight most of the time. But actually, by the end of the journey, I was a lot more confident because I could work from experience and say, that was all right. If I'd have followed her, she would have taken me in the right direction. When it comes to our journey through life, we have got to drive by faith, not by sight. That's what Paul said here, wasn't it? He says, we live by faith, not by sight. What does he mean? That in our lives as Christians, it's not just the world around us with its material things that we should be thinking about, but we should be living our lives by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. It's to learn to go on trusting God no matter what the circumstances. Why? Because we're familiar and we have experience of God's goodness in the past. That builds up our level of trust. And because we've trusted him and he's seen us through in the past, we can rely on him to see us through in the future too. So as we go on life's journey, let us go into 2013 trusting in the Lord, living by faith, not by sight. The other thing that the sat-nav gave us was an estimated time of arrival. It calculated as we set off that we would get back at 3:23. Well, it changed as we went. We got held up. There were slow parts. There were fast parts. We actually got there at 3:31. It wasn't bad, was it? Can I tell you what your estimated time of arrival is in heaven? The answer is no. We're not given that, are we? But there's a great verse in Job 31, verse 4. He asks a question. Does he, that's God, not see my ways and count my every step? The answer, of course, is yes, he does. He sees my ways and counts my every step. I think there's a number of steps given to us for our lives. And we don't know how many more steps we've got to go, but God does. And our lives are in his hands, says the scriptures. We can go on to trust him. There's an uncertainty about when we'll arrive. And in fact, there are two ways that we might get to our destination, isn't there? We may die and our tent get wrapped up, but we've just said we go to heaven that way. But another way in which we might arrive at our destination, and it would be a quicker way perhaps, would be through the time when the Lord comes to the earth for his own, isn't it? And I'd like to remind you, just as I begin to come to an end, of the verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We used to read these quite a lot, but we don't read them quite so much these days. I wonder if that was what C.S. Lewis was getting at. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, that's those who have died, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So if we pass from this life into the next through death, we go to be with the Lord. The Lord is coming again. We don't know his estimated time of arrival. He's coming, maybe 2013. Are we ready? Are we prepared for his coming? If he comes, we who are alive will be caught up. Those who have died, their bodies will be resurrected. And they'll come with the Lord and they'll be joined together again so that they are fully clothed, as it were, the people that he wants us to be, fully fitted for heaven. Let's look forward to that. The scripture are full of those encouragement to wait for his son, to look expectantly and to await his son from heaven. And we should have that expectation as we move into 2013. The last thought is this. When we got home, certainly the sat-nav didn't give me this. It didn't give me any assessment of my driving, how I got on in the journey. But Rosemary might say, well done, Alistair. She might say, you've driven very safely and very well. Thank you for that. She might say, didn't do very well on that roundabout up there. You pulled out a bit quickly in front of that car that was coming round the corner. It was a bit iffy then, wasn't it? For us as Christians, there's a time of assessment coming about how we've managed the journey. Verse 10 told us about this. It spoke about the judgment seat of Christ, where we receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now we understand, don't we, that this time of assessment isn't assessing whether or not we get into heaven or not. That's clearly settled by the fact the Lord Jesus died for us and we've received him as Saviour. That's not the issue here. The issue is an assessment of how we've done on the journey, of how we've lived our Christian lives. Yes, we get into heaven. There's no doubt about that. We're at home with the Lord. There's no doubt about that. He's got the place prepared for us. There's no doubt about that. But the Bible does talk about rewards and recognition of those who have done a good job as Christians. A bit like the guy in the talent, the servants in the talents, where the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. There's a recognition for them. And others can see that they've done a good job. And the apostle says, I'm looking ahead to my destination. I know I'm going to get there, but I'm living now in the light of the fact that there is this assessment time to come. And you can see he's almost saying and implying to these Corinthians, make sure you're ready for it. You haven't, as he says in other places, been living the sort of lives you ought to be as Christians, but remember, you've got this assessment time to come. May we have this mindset too as we start on the new year. Let's remember that our destination is assured and take comfort from that. Heaven is our ultimate goal, not this world below. As we journey through 2013, let's make it our goal to please the Lord in all we do. And let's keep in mind all the time that we've got this time of assessment coming. May it challenge us as to the way in which we live our Christian lives.